Well, once again, it's a joy to get to be around you tonight. I trust that you'll settle in there, and we'll get into our Bible study this evening. If you got a handout, you're welcome to take it out. We're talking about heaven this evening, and of course, it's not an exhaustive Bible study. We're just on it tonight, and we're getting ready for our Equip series coming up here in just a couple of weeks, and so I'll be just teaching a couple of lessons that will fill in the space between then and the one I'm teaching on is forgiveness in this room here on Wednesday nights. But Brother Daniel will teach an apologetics, the second course of that. And I think Miss Leslie Farmer will be doing one of the ladies. I believe I'm correct on that one. And so I trust that you'll find a good spot to get into and enjoy as we have our Equip series on the month of October. Well, open your Bibles, if you would, to Revelation 22, and I doubt that most of us will be looking at anything new that you do not know, but trust that we'll put some addresses to things that you already do know, and then be a blessing in that way to let you find some things that you know what it is, you just need to know where it is. And so as we look at the idea of heaven, the doctrine of heaven, and the truth of it, you'd be amazed if you go studying how many folks deny heaven or hell. Now, more people deny hell than heaven because heaven gives a warm, fuzzy feeling, but those people that deny hell usually just think that everybody's going to heaven ultimately, and that it's all going to work out in the end. You know, our church is, and of course I am as well, I believe in a premillennial return of Christ, meaning before the millennial, pre-tribulation, before the tribulation, return of Christ, and there's people that are premillennial, postmillennial. They believe it'll happen afterwards. Things are going to get better and better and better. They're having a little harder time selling that one right now with everything going on. But then there's some millennialists, meaning in the middle of it. And one fellow said he was a panmillennialist. And somebody asked him, what does that mean? He said, I just think it's all going to pan out in the end. So I'm a panmillennialist in that. I do believe God's going to make it all pan out in the end. But we're premillennial as well. So there's a lot of people who you don't believe in any of that stuff, of course. Don't believe in heaven, don't believe in hell. Just think you're just, when you're dead, you're dead. But remember this always. Just because we don't believe the truth doesn't make the truth not true. If I was driving down, I was going to Shannon and Katie's the other night, and I thought for sure that road was already done. And between their house and the main road, you know, she's supposed to go the other way to get to Harvest Acres. And so I thought, surely it's done. I was in a hurry, and I just ran down through there. And then I got quite a ways, and then the one sign said, road closed. But you know how you figure that's always not for you. I just figured, well, that's local traffic only. I said, well, I don't live too far from here. So I thought, well, I'll try it. And then it got up there, sure enough, road was closed. Bridge out, culvert out, whatever they're doing is getting dark by the time this is on the way back. And so some people, like those people, some people don't read the signs. Now, my wife reads everything, but she said, well, didn't you see that sign back there? I said, you know, that something does sound vaguely familiar. Yes, I did see there was a sign back there. But just because you don't believe the sign doesn't make the sign untrue. And the sad thing is, just because there's a lot of people who deny there's a hell, denies there's a heaven, denies there's a God, does not change the truth of it one bit. And now we can get haughty and we can get a little egotistical and say, well, one of these days they'll learn, but I draw no pleasure from the thought of people learning that hell is a real place. And so I give you that tonight. Again, there's not near as many that deny heaven as deny hell, because there being something up there makes people feel warm and fuzzy, and so they're willing to accept that. But they really, when you get down to it, many people don't believe anything about either one of them. And so I want us, again, not only to know what we believe, but why we believe it. And so as we look about heaven, just for one night study tonight, so again, we won't hit everything, but I trust it'll be a blessing to us. Look at Revelation 22, verse number 5. And there shall be no night there, and they need no candle, neither light of the sun, for the Lord God giveth them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. Verse number 4, and there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him. And so we want to look at heaven tonight and look at it in the realm of what it is now, heaven now. We're going to look at the description of heaven. That's the first point that we're looking at, the description of it. And so the heaven now and then the prospect of heaven, or the heaven in prospect, what it's going to be, because we understand, of course, that if you read through Revelation, and your assigned reading would be if you'd read Revelation 21, 22, you'd see the new heaven and the new earth described in verse number 21, the new Jerusalem sins in verse number 2 of chapter 21, and it goes on and on. It's described in verses 9 and through the rest of there. But so we look at what's happening now. We've just had some folks that in our midst that have gone on to be with the Lord. And it's been a rough season because there's been a lot of them as of late that have gone on to be with the Lord. And it's hard to say that that's rough, because we understand that precious in the sight of the Lord are the death of His saints. We understand that it's good. I'll share a few things at the funeral service tomorrow for Mr. Brother White. And we understand that that's a pleasant thing, but it's certainly not easy on families. So what's happening now? Well, look, if you will, at 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians 5, verse number 8, and we'll move around there. You can write that under that first one if you want. It's not on there. It's just a couple extra things I want to give you. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. So what in the world is happening with people now? If I would drop dead of a heart attack, and before folks figured out that I was gone, then the Bible says that my soul would already be gone, because in this verse it says, we are confident, I'm in 2 Corinthians 5:8, we are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. Verse number 6 before that says, we're always confident, knowing that whilst we're at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. And so we realize that we've got to be one place or the other, either here in verse number 6, away from the Lord and not away from His care or away from His presence, but we're certainly not in residence with Him in heaven. Or we find out in verse number 8, we said we're willing and confident that we'd rather be absent from this body and to be present with the Lord. So what happens now? Those people, the Bible teaches that a person goes immediately to be with the Lord. There's no interim there. There's no soul sleep. There's no holding pattern. There's no area there that somebody goes to just to check and make sure. God, the God of all universe, He knows who's His, and so He immediately takes them on. So we see that there they are present with the Lord when our loved ones leave. We see not only there, the Bible also says that we will know even as we're known. Look in Matthew chapter 17, if you would. And you're going to see here when you get to Matthew 17, this is going to be the place where Jesus has a couple of the disciples up on the mountain. And while He's here, they have an interesting interaction, some some interesting meetings there with some saints of old. In verse number 4 of Matthew 17, the Bible says, then answered Peter and said unto him, unto Jesus, Lord, it is good for us to be here. If thou wilt, let us make three tabernacles, one for thee, one for Moses, and one for Elias, or Elijah. And so this, if you'd read those whole first of the verses there, Jesus taketh Peter, James, and John, his brother, and bringeth him up into an high mountain apart. And so when he gets there, then the Lord has a meeting with some folks that have come, obviously, from glory. And so we see that that Elijah and Moses are known by name. We see the Bible teaches that we will know even as we're known. People ask different times of me. So, well, will we know our loved ones? Yes, we'll know our loved ones. We'll know even as we're known. Now, we have to remember what the Bible teaches about sometimes when folks get married, they say, oh, I want to get married forever, and in the sight of God we are, but the Bible teaches that that when we get there, we'll have such a different relationship that it won't be necessarily as marriage here on this earth, but we'll know one another. All of a sudden, those people that you've been talking bad about, the Christian ones, that you're going to have to fess up, and you're going to have to say, well, I thought some of those were true, but I thought you'd get right before you got up here, and maybe they did, or maybe you did. But we understand that we will know one another, and we'll be in a glorified body. We won't have these petty things going on that we do here. That's why I jokingly say, although it's no joke, I want to get ready for heaven while I'm here. I mean, I'm already ready. I'm my ticket's bought. I'm going. I'm just as sure as if I were already there. But not only do I want to have my reservation made, not only do I want to have my spot reserved, of course, through the Lord Jesus Christ, He's the way, but I also want to start living here like I'll be glad up there that I did. I'm afraid that some of us are demeanor as backslidden Christians going to have to be so different when we get there that we'll spend some time being ashamed of how we've lived. And so we see the description of heaven, heaven now. But then heaven in prospect is back where we were at in Revelation 21, because as the Bible tells about how heaven is, we're looking at verse number 16 of chapter 21. The Bible says, "The city lieth four square, and the length is as large as the breadth, and the measure in the city four square, all different ways. The length and the breadth and the equal, the height of it are its equal." And so a cube, we see in verse number 17, the jasper walls that are mentioned there. We see in verse number 18, the building of the walls was jasper, and the city was pure gold, like unto clear glass. In verse 13 and 12, we see the pearly gates mentioned. In verse number 21, the 12 gates were 12 pearls, and every several gate is one pearl. And we see all these things in chapter 21, verse 21, the golden street. And so sometimes we hear about all these things. Well, you want to find some rich reading, look at that new Jerusalem coming down, that new heaven, the new earth, and give you this as an assignment, chapter 21 of Revelation. And don't say, "Oh, preacher, Revelation scares me." All of those things, well, they're certainly not pleasant, all of them in there. But just remember that those things that are happening, those judgments and those vials and the bowls and all of that, that's the Lord pouring out the wrath on the world and the things that are the enemies of God. And so that's not us. And so we're in the safety of His hand. And so understand, though, that you see what heaven in prospect will be like. And so some difference between now and between what it will be. So we see the description, though. But we see also, number two, the condition of heaven. If you look here, the first one, the activities in heaven, and you want to write these down. I don't think I put them on yours. Let me see. Yeah, maybe I did. Revelation 5:9, Revelation 15:13, Revelation 7:13, and Revelation 22:3. We see singing in Revelation 5:9. If you're there in Revelation, turn back to chapter 5. Why do we sing at church? Why do we sing the songs of Zion? Why do we sing praises to the Lamb? Why do we sing about the Lord? Well, one big reason is because that's what they'll be doing in heaven. Chapter 5, verse 9, "And they sung a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for Thou wast slain and hast been redeemed to us, to God, by the blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nations." They'd sung a new song, and the Bible talks about singing. The Bible talks in chapter 7, verse number 15, about serving. "Therefore are they before the throne of God and serve Him day and night in His temple, and He that sitteth on the throne shall dwell among them." Folks, there'll be a lot of activity in heaven as we worship the Lord and we stand before Him and we are in awe of Him, we serve Him and we love Him and we do those things. We've all seen too many cartoons where everybody just kind of plops down on a cloud and don't fall through, but you lay up there and just popping grapes and think, "Oh, this is heaven." Well, heaven's a lot better than that. And so we understand they'll be singing, they'll be serving. Back in Matthew chapter 17, I'll read this one to you. Chapter 17, verse number 3, the Bible says this, "And beheld, there appeared unto them Moses and Elias talking with Him." That passage that we read about the transfiguration, there'll be fellowship back and forth. My friend, I'm just telling you, there'll be a lot of things going on as we find ourselves in heaven. Let me read you one other passage here. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse number 12, the Bible says, "For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know, even as also I am known." Now remember, this flesh is what we'll say goodbye to when my funeral comes, and if you don't mind, come to it. I'd appreciate that. But with this flesh that we get to lay in a casket is the tabernacle, literally the tent that we dwelt in while we were here. This is how we know we're coming up on each other, because we recognize the tabernacle. But that's not the real us. That's just what we kept mobile in. And so the Scripture says this will drop, but the real us will rise. And so the Lord will give us a glorified body ultimately, but then in the meantime, some sort of temporary dwelling that the people that are in heaven now must have. So we see the activities in heaven. We see the things absent from heaven. And so some of those passages there, as I'll hasten through, talk about tears. Eventually, God will wipe away all tears. I remember that my pastor was preaching one Sunday morning, and Randy Ratliff, who turned out to be a wonderful friend, was sitting there. He was coming. His family was saved, his wife and his kids, and they'd come. They came to the bus ministry originally, but Randy would come, but he wasn't saved. He'd come Sunday after Sunday, had a good job, off on weekends though, and he would come. He was a very nicest guy you'd want to meet, but he wasn't saved. And so Pastor Norris was preaching one time about the fact that God would wipe away all tears, and that somehow God must erase the memory of those unsaved loved ones that you had on earth. Because how could it be heaven with you knowing that the people that you loved here on earth were suffering for all of eternity? Now, there's some supposition there because the Bible doesn't exactly say how all that's going to happen, but that's some logic that you could follow through. And Randy couldn't stand it. He said, I couldn't stand the fact of my family getting my memory erased from them. And that's what the Lord used in him to finally be the straw that broke the proverbial camel's back. And he bailed out and came to the altar and said he wanted to receive Christ as his Savior so he'd go to heaven with his family. So I see the things absent in heaven. Eventually, God will wipe away all tears. In chapter 21, verse number 4, talks about the pain that will be there. Night will be gone because the Son of God is the light. And so we see the things that are absent in heaven. And then things present in heaven. Let me give you just a couple here in chapter 21, verse number 23. I might find my place. The Bible says, and the city had no need of the sun, neither the moon to shine it, for the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. What will be present? The light, the glory, the holiness. Verse number 27, there shall no wise enter anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life. My friend, listen, can I tell you why we're in such a shape in our world? Nobody likes to hear that we've ever done anything wrong. It started years ago when people wouldn't admit that they had a sin problem. Instead, they wanted to admit that they wanted instead to be labeled as having a disease. This is true in alcoholism. This is true in many other areas. Brother Dan was saying in the Mexican culture, as he's telling a little bit about the trip that he went down to serve and to meet some different folks and help out in some of the ministry down there. He said one of the things that in that culture, and I'm sure it's in many cultures, is that even in the way that they say things, for instance, that the bus left me. Like if the city bus, it was scheduled to leave at 10 after 10, 10:10, and you got there at 10:15, well, the bus left me. Well, no, you were late. But he said in that culture, they don't necessarily say it that way. They say the bus left me, as if to put the fault on the other thing. Or that's the way a lot of things were explained, that you did this to me, not that I did it to myself. And do you notice that in our world today, there's very few people that want to take blame for anything? It was somebody else's fault that brought this on me. And now, please don't misunderstand. I'm not being unsympathetic to people who battle the wickedness and demon of alcohol, because some people have a much, much greater problem with it than some of the people in this room. So I understand that some people do have more issues with one sin or vice or whatever over another. But my point is this: nobody wants to take responsibility by and large. We all want to say that everything is someone else's fault. If your marriage breaks up or my marriage breaks up, nobody wants to say, I'm a rotten, wicked husband. Instead, we want to find other reasons why it happened. If we don't pay our bills and we lose something to foreclosure, we don't want to say, well, I should have just worked harder. Now, there may be problems in there, situations that are true enough, legit. But my point in saying all that is that we've got a bad tendency, and that is to not want to take responsibility for our actions. Well, when we don't take responsibility for our actions, then we don't want to admit we're sinners. When we don't want to admit we're sinners, we don't have anything to be saved from. And so when verse number 27 of Revelation 21 is read to us, there shall no wise enter anything that defileth. A person says, well, I wouldn't defile anything. But sure enough, rootin' tootin', an unsaved person would defile it. Neither whatsoever worketh abomination. Well, I wouldn't work an abomination. Or maketh a lie. Well, I wouldn't tell a lie, not a real serious one, maybe a little white lie. I wouldn't tell a lie. But they which are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. I'm saying, my friend, the reason that we have a difficult time in 2021 even getting people to the point where they would receive Christ as their Savior is we've told everybody in society that we're all okay. You may be a little different than me, but your okay is just as okay as my okay. We're both okay. We're just both okay different ways. No, friend, as I've told you at the beginning, the truth, just because we ignore the truth, deny the truth, pretend it doesn't exist, whatever it is, just because whatever we want to do with the truth doesn't take away from the truth being the truth. And so I'm reminded of Bobby Robertson, who pastored in Gospel Light in Walkertown for years, is in heaven now. And he would say it like this when he was talking about people and leading them to the Lord. He says, I don't have a trouble showing somebody how to be saved. I don't have trouble getting them saved. Nobody, we don't get anybody saved, but the Lord does. But he said it, and you'll understand why. He said, I don't have any trouble getting people saved. He said, I have trouble getting people lost. And so in our culture right now, people don't like to say, yeah, I'm a sinner. I've done wrong. And so we understand, though, the things that are present in heaven are the holiness, the goodness, and those that are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Those are the conditions of heaven. And we'll see the inhabitants of heaven, the last one, as we conclude here tonight. We see in chapter 4, verse number 2, we see, of course, that God is there. All of these in Revelation. Revelation chapter 4, verse number 2. And immediately I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne was set in heaven, and one sat on the throne, and he that sat was to look upon like a jasper and a sardine stone, and there was a rainbow round about the throne in sight like unto an emerald. Round about the throne were 24 seats, and upon the seats I saw 24 elders sitting clothed in white raiment, and they had on their heads crowns of gold. Now listen, don't get scared off and think, I don't even think I can understand all that. I believe that if you read this book every year from now to the day you died, you'd probably still find more out on the last time you read it through. But don't let that keep you from reading it. Just read it and see some things. We see that God will be in heaven. We'll see angelic beings there in the passage we read there, verse number 4. But then also in chapter 5, verse number 11, if you want to write down, you can write down Luke 1, verse number 19. And we see angelic beings. We see in the elders listed in verse number 4, possibly representatives from each tribe and the apostles. And there's different commentators that say different things of who those elders are. But what I love is the last one, verse number letter D, and that is the redeemed. I don't have to have it all figured out. And if you were looking for a pastor that has it all figured out, keep on looking. But I would tell you this, as soon as you find one that says they got it all figured out, check his lying out, because he's probably not very honest. Because there's enough in this book that you'll be able to keep on digging for the rest of our lives. Dad says it like this, my dad says it like this, that when you come to a place in Scripture where you don't exactly understand what it is, he said, just kind of put it on a mental shelf right there. And he said, sometimes in the next time around or the next, that God will connect that dot with another dot and you can start putting things together. And he says, the older you get, the more you start putting things together. And one of these days, and the Lord will just snatch us up and take us to heaven and say, you can quit learning now that I'm here. And so we see the redeemed of the Lord will be there, the inhabitants of heaven. I just thought that there's such trouble and turmoil going on. We ought to maybe spend some time thinking about the activities in heaven. As I mentioned, why do we sing in our services? Well, we sing praises to the Lord. But why do we do that? One of the reasons is because they'll be singing in heaven. And they'll be singing praises to the Lord and activities in heaven. They'll be praising. They'll be fellowshipping. Why do we promote fellowshipping? Why do we encourage people? Even last Sunday night, we got out several minutes early. I said, you know, let's maybe fellowship, go somewhere and get something to eat or do this or do that. Why would we promote that? Why would we encourage that? Because that's what heaven will be like. We'll be fellowshipping. We'll be seeing one another and we'll be knowing one another. We're going around, we'll go around mansion to mansion, I suppose. Unlike down here, we won't be showing off, say, look, my mansion's a little better than yours. We'll just be glad to get there. But we'll be fellowshipping and we'll be rejoicing. We'll be worshiping the Lord. Why do we worship the Lord here? Well, why we try to encourage people to do it? Because that's what heaven will be a lot like. And again, I say that I want to be doing now what we'll be doing then. And so tonight, I think we have the wonderful anticipation of heaven. There's so many ideas about this place, some wrong, some right. Now listen, please don't be that holy corrector when your coworker says something wrong about heaven. Now, if they say there isn't no heaven, then you can correct them. Please don't go there because I'm looking forward to it. But whenever somebody says that, this is just a personal preference with me, I'm departing from the scriptures and telling you what I try to do. When somebody says, well, I guess God just needed another angel. He was going to pull my loved one and take him there. Well, that's the angels are already set. The angelic beings are different than us, and we don't turn into angels when they get there. But you know what's annoying sometimes is when somebody feels like they got to hold you right to every point. I challenge people, don't be that persnickety person. Says, oh, no. And then just make yourself annoying to people. Now, there's not to say there's not a time when if somebody's looking for the truth of what it's going to be like that you say, well, here's what the Scripture says. The Scripture puts a difference between angelic beings and the redeemed of the Lord and, of course, the Lord and all that. But there's a lot of ideas out there. And I challenge all of us, though, to know what the Scripture says. And I challenge you sometime, there's so many resources now available to everybody. I challenge you to know what you believe and do a study about heaven. Look at all of the topical references to it through the New Testament, especially in Revelation and whatnot. Because we ought to be pretty well versed on this place. It's where we're going to live forever. New heaven and a new earth. You live here, you live here, live there. And as we go back and forth, this will be a wonderful place. And so as we think about this, I trust that we know a little bit more about heaven after we've come tonight. And it's a joy just to get to think about it. I know one thing's for sure. Here, I talk to different people and we ask them if they know, ask them if they are you headed to heaven? Do you know you're saved? Whatever you ask them. A lot of people say, well, I think so. I'm really working on that, which usually tells that they're not really in the know and probably possibly need to be led to the Lord. But sometimes people are saved and they just think it sounds braggadocious to say, oh yeah, I'm in. And so regardless of which way they are, but I know this, none of us will get there and say, well, God, you made a good choice in bringing me up here. I'm really going to do well for the place. We'll all be so thankful. I don't believe the most faithful of people, I don't believe that Preacher Lastly will come and say, well, I think God, I earned a good spot here, because nobody gets there by their own merit. Not the best of the ones that we know. We get there only through the blood of the Lamb. And so tonight, if you're uncertain of that, you know, we always like to close by reminding folks, if you're not sure of that wonderful place and your future in it, oh, it'd be horrible to go to hell. It'd be horrible to go to hell from a church like this, where you've heard Jesus Christ and His name lifted up, and never taking time in your life to put yourself at His mercy and forgiveness and ask Him to be your Savior. Heaven will be a wonderful place. Let's pray together. Father, our prayer is that we'd know more and more and more about heaven. And Lord, I believe the more we know about heaven, the less we'll be in love with this old world. And I certainly don't think I taught anybody much about it tonight, but maybe whetted the appetite for a few. I don't think that saying, folks, that people give that he's so heavenly minded, he's no earthly good. I don't know if I buy that. I've met some people who talk so much about it and they are just annoying in other reasons and ways. I get that. But I believe you think about heaven, it'll just make you want to get other people there. Make you want to live your life in getting ready for it. Now, Lord, I pray that you'd help us all to live with heaven in view. I pray, dear Lord, if there's one here that's not sure of salvation, not sure of heaven, that they'd trust you before the time is too late. And then, dear Lord, I pray that some tonight would resolve to get in the book and study it out. Know more about that place that we'll spend forever with thee. Bless in Jesus' name, we pray. Would you stand together as they play something through? And not much of an invitation tonight, but the altar's always open. Maybe you have something heavy on your heart, and you just like to come and pray, then you're certainly welcome to do so. Maybe you need to be saved. God will never let anybody into heaven because they're a church member, even of a good Bible-believing church. We won't get to heaven because of Buffalo Ridge. We can get to heaven from Buffalo Ridge, but we can't get to heaven because of Buffalo Ridge or any other church that you grew up in. If you're here not sure you're saved, would you step out and come, and I'd take the Bible and show you how you can be sure heaven's your home. Maybe you're saved, and but you don't know much about heaven. I challenge you to go home this week and read Revelation 21, the new heaven, the new earth, coming down, new Jerusalem, descending from heaven. I challenge you to read. Most of you have study Bibles that have topical index in the front, give a bunch of passages about heaven. Let's dive into it. Thank you. May look this way. Well, it's good to be in church tonight, and we've been giving him a lot of time off, but I'm going to ask Brother Graham Forney, if he didn't mind, to slip up here and pray for us. He's not on the schedule. We don't have a love offering. We don't even have a Cracker Barrel gift certificate to give to a missionary. We don't have anything, but I think he'll pray for us anyways, even for nothing, right?
I think I got 3 Cracker Barrel cards already.
Oh, never mind. Maybe we did pay him. I hope somebody gives him a 4th one before he leaves tonight. So,
thanks again, folks, for praying for him, for supporting him. This is, as I've said every time I'm here, it's home. And one day we're going to be at our final home, and that'll be better yet. But this is a good place to stop along the way. Now, Heavenly Father, we look forward to being in heaven, because we will see you. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for dying and making the way that is accessible to everyone who believes. And we pray tonight, Lord, that Buffalo Ridge will be a lighthouse that points the way to people all around this area, and use us and use the activities and the programs planned, not because programs are inspired, but because they're just a way to try to reach people, make us effective in our lives. Thank you again for your goodness to us. And one day we'll meet you in glory. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. God bless you.